Did you know that 15% of women have been stalked within their lifetime? Nearly 44% of them will experience some sort of sexual violence, and of those women, nearly half will be victimized by someone they know. These are sobering statistics, and today our guest is here to talk about what women today can do to stay safe. Everybody, thank you for joining us on Return to Eden. We've got important stuff to talk about today, women's safety, everybody's safety. Before we get into it, let me introduce my guests. He's a lawman of four decades who's worked patrol, criminal investigation, undercover narcotics, as well as serving as chief of police and deputy sheriff. He's taught in multiple police academies and acted as a private instructor in fields of firearms, corporate and personal security, and as a consultant on police procedure for media, holds a degree in business from Evangel University, and has also been in ministry for four decades, serving as a senior pastor for more than 25 years. Please welcome Bruce Beelen. And she's the operating human resources manager at Skywatch TV, Defender Publishing, Whispering Ponies Ranch, operating head administrator of Eden's Essentials, and has held administrative roles within ministry for nearly three decades and professionally for two. Please welcome Charisse Parton.
Thank you.
Bruce, Charisse, thank you so much for joining us again today. We're going to shift a little bit. You know, the last couple of weeks we've talked about fear. We've talked about the real illness of society. Yeah. It's very clear where everybody stands on those issues. But now we're going to talk about a little bit more of a practical approach to some of this.
Yeah.
Women's safety. In writing the introduction for this show, I had to be a little bit careful about what statistics I chose.
Sure.
Because I wanted to convey the gravity, but I didn't want to even go into some of the things that I ran across. It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
You know, how easy it is for our safety to be compromised these days. So to start this conversation off, you actually did come and teach a safety course for us recently. And I remember you saying that perceived threats are often different than where the real threats come from. And I remember you talking about the inner circle. So if that's an okay place for you to start, it seems to me like that's the best place to start.
Well, to answer that question, essentially, if you take 100,000 people, pretend that you're in a town of 100,000 people, again, it would be different in different areas of the United States, but these are all United States figures. And essentially, out of 100,000 people in 2020, 380, if you round it up, 381 of those people would be the victim of a violent crime.
Wow.
And so when you're talking about it, you know, right now, everyone's talking about how crime is going up.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually, compared to 1992, which is a huge spike that we had in crime, we were having about twice that many.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable. No,
that's shocking.
It is. Essentially, we live in a fairly safe society compared to, everybody's trying to sell their agenda, whether whatever I'm selling, whatever I'm doing, I want you, I want to scare you to death because you'll do something about it if I scare you to death. So, you know, the first thing is that it is a very real problem, but any, those violent encounters are less than we think.
Wow.
Now, active shooters mess with those stats, okay, because that could, that is including that, okay, but, we teach active shooter. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at active shooter, you start looking at mass shootings, people to show up at where they used to work and doing this or entire families, and those are horrible. So I don't want to minimize anybody's experience with violent crime.
Yeah, right.
Okay? Now these are reported statistics, also, guys. Okay, so remember those are reported. To go back to your question on actual sexual assaults against people, and we know the vast majority, 90+% is going to be against women. Okay. Only 7% of those are strangers.
Oh.
That they are assaulted by a stranger. Okay. So, and I want you to think about this. If someone called me on the phone and said, hey, I need an appointment. I want to do a security survey of my life, of my business, of whatever. The first thing that I always tell people is your problems are going to come from your circle. And if you could just think about the circle that you draw around it. When I go to work a case, I'm actually off today, but tomorrow when I go back to work, if I get called to something, statistically, vast majority of statistics, even it, whether it's theft, whether it's, you know, and again, internet crime messes right. with this statistic.
Sure.
Okay. Please don't be giving out your information, your bank account number, and nobody right. uses Lowe's cards yeah. to get people out of jail.
Don't I mean,
I click
could go the link.
Forever.
Yeah.
But it's just maddening. But the point being is if somebody gets something, if they are hurt, if something is stolen, if something is taken, a vast majority of the time, if you draw a circle, the further it gets out away from them is the less likely they are the suspect.
I think that we think that that's the opposite, though.
It's not.
Because you think that nobody in my circle is going to perpetrate such a, of course, depends on your circle, I guess. But, you know, my brain goes to, I'm always worried about the weirdo driving down the road passing my house.
You know? Are there. And I don't want to minimize the caution.
Yeah.
You don't use fear.
Sure.
Okay. But the caution,
yeah.
the preparation that we take for those to be able to take the step when that happens or if that happens. But the point is, it's not news when someone in your family, unless it makes the news about something just horrible.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But it's usually those closest to you that start, and then you go to the outer circle, the outer circle, the outer circle, where the closer it is statistically, that's who's going to victimize that person.
Wow.
So if I'm understanding your statistic, over 90%
yes.
of wow. a lot of these types of crimes happen by somebody that we don't realize
right.
should not be trusted,
yeah.
and we allow them into our circle. So
right.
it's important to be wary. Even when you're dealing with people within your circle, take precautions,
yeah.
Things like that.
And here's the deal. I would say clean up your circle. I mean, and that's that. And I actually tell people I use that terminology is in a ministry sense, I minister everybody, okay? But here's the deal. My circle, I'm going to call it my safety and security circle,
mm-hmm.
okay? There's just a few people in there.
Right.
And it's larger probably than most people's. But what happens is we are victimized by those closest. And I could give you example after example. I mean, the first homicide that I ever worked in the 80s, it was a business agreement. It was not a lover situation. It was a business agreement. And they went in to do business, and they robbed them and took them. It was not some, you know what I mean? It was some,
yeah.
some because they knew that money was there and ended up killing a couple people along the way. The next one that I worked was killed by a jealous paramour, you know.
Mm.
I mean, as it keeps going, the next shootings that I worked are they all live together, you know. Now, there's drive-bys that mess with this stat.
Sure.
Okay. And you have to put those in. Recently, I heard of a situation that I'm going to be very generic, that there's two cars driving down the road shooting at each other, you know.
Good grief.
And if you happen to be pumping gas or, you know,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, right,
nearby,
right.
You see,
right.
That's that stray, you know, where children are killed, where all those people caring about other people is at an all-time low. So, but watch that circle first, and then I want you to think of it as layers of fencing, okay? You've got your inner circle, which is going to be the people that are the number one suspects, okay? If somebody eats my lunch in the refrigerator at my house, I don't have to usually look too far, okay?
It's a good analogy.
Yeah, and it happens. But anyway.
It's a little too close to home.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Then there's this safety and security circle outside of that, of where that, again, if I was trying to sell you on a martial arts program, if I was going to try to sell you on a device that you use, I'm not selling you anything today,
mm-hmm.
because what's way more important in that circle is that you are aware that you're looking, that you're, you know, and it's you have the heart, as the Ute saying, Ute Indian is piumnuk-e, which means you have the heart to fight. Get that outer, that next circle of watching your surrounding, what's around, get out the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of thing do you think, or is there a list? Maybe I'm subscribing to a myth by even believing that there are things that make a person an easy target versus what makes a person a more difficult target. Are there things that a person can practically apply to their habits to either make themselves
less vulnerable.
Sure.
Yeah.
Both in public places and within your circle, I
sure.
suppose.
Let's start with really, really simple things.
Okay.
Okay. And because we come from a rural area, and when I was growing up, you never had to look for the keys
right.
to cars because they're in the ignition, because they were easy to find.
Right.
And honestly, we never even thought about it. But in Springfield, 35 miles away, I remember, 3 years ago, they were coming out because everybody's going out warming up their cars.
Right, right.
Okay, and they were car after car after car per people that were on controlled substances were trying to get from one town to the other, and they go, well, look, somebody's cranked the car for me and warmed it up. And they, you know.
Easy mean, picking, was, yeah, low fruit.
They weren't selling the car.
Right.
They were going across town and leaving it. And and they had to come out on mass media and say, would you please, you know. So,
stop
I mean, that's
that.
One level, locking your doors.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start getting into violent crime, if you've got this this circle straightened out, I want you to think about where you go and when you go.
What time, right.
What time
yeah.
and where you go.
Right.
An acquaintance called me years ago and said, Bruce, I'm, you know, all this is in the news. This is going on. This is in the news. I'm thinking about buying a gun. Would you give me some help on that? I said, yeah, you know, we can figure out what you need or whatever. That's fine. But why are you wanting this? And he goes, well, you know, I read about this. I read about this. And I asked him, I said, is your wife going to kill you? He said, not that I know of. And I said, well, that's good news. You know, I know
right,
her
right.
too. So I'll have to work it. But, you know, could you take her to another county? But,
exactly. Okay.
But anyway, but the reality is he said, no, no, no. I said, well, are your kids going to kill you? No. Are you, is, you know, are you hanging out in honky-tonks?
Right.
And that's the word we used back then. That now would be a bar or something, you know.
Club.
But the club.
In the club.
The club. Anyway, but the reality is that he said, no, none of that. I said, well, you're probably going to die of old age, you know, if you're worried about that. On the other hand, statistically, we had an establishment that literally, I had worked it years ago and some things, but literally because of the clientele, I would not, I'd sell my property if I was near it. The stray bullets.
Proximity.
I mean, literally. So that's what the second thing. I think, you know, first your circle, then, you know, and then the third thing is what we do in executive protection and corporate security and those things is it's very simple. The very best fight, I know people who are, I mean, SEALs teach this. I mean, Navy SEALs. I mean, the very best fight is the one you never get in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so your circle, you're out next circle, but the next one is knowing, you know, if everything goes bad, leave. Get away from it. When we talked about it last week about, you know, you're beginning to pick up on something, something's making you uneasy,
right.
something that cautionary, that a friend of mine says, spidey sense begins to come up, and then leave. I mean, what is there that's so important? Get your stuff, get your kids, get your bag,
right.
and go. You know, because the ones you don't get in, and when we go eat, when we go somewhere, I always know how to go.
It's a fact. Because, I mean, when we go to lunch with a certain friend of ours, he and I will fight over whose back is to the door.
Right.
Because I refuse to sit anywhere with my back to a door for that reason, because I have the gift of suspicion.
Correct.
You know?
Caution.
Caution.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
We don't use fear or suspicion.
No, caution.
Although it's right there. But anyway, there's a lot of classes you can take. There's a lot of things you can take. But, I mean, in working in corporate America right now, people showing up, I direct people to take serious measures. I mean, cameras, if you're worried about home security, I mean, literally, and we were talking about this on the break, the reason that I have a 100-pound German Shepherd is because, and he's not trained bite dog, he's not either, but anybody tap on the window anytime, night or day, they hear what sounds like a dinosaur, you know, barking and going on. And they don't want any of that normally. It's an alarm system. It's, you know, if he happens to be loose in the house, he that's his house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Or if he's in the yard, he's taller than the fence.
Oh,
he'll peek over.
Kim had when we were having our fence built, she built a little hole so he can jump out if he needs to. I'm serious.
I know.
That's why that's there. I'm like, baby, why do you want that? She says, well, in case bullet needs to get out. I go, okay. She's thinking ahead. She's been married to me 40 years. That helps. But anyway, but I don't want you to live in fear, mm-hmm. number one. But being prepared and cautious is what I teach and what I try to recommend that everybody be. And if you're comfortable with having tools to deal with it when you can't escape, then training on those tools.
Right.
Whether it's a medium range impact device, whether it's pepper spray, whether it's something that fires projectiles, whatever it is, training, because and having your head set that this is the scenario, this is when I would actually do that.
Yeah.
Do you have other ways that a person can try to protect their home? As far as, I mean, you've mentioned locked doors, if you can get right. a dog. Do you have other, the same way, the question of how to make, you know, myself less a potential victim, how would I do that to my home? Do you have things?
Absolutely. We used to do a thing called a security survey, and the first thing you start looking at is most crimes that are not in that inner circle, okay, are going to occur after dark.
Right.
And so what's your lighting system?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Lights. Are your bushes right up? I mean, you have a place for 40 people to hide up next to your house. I mean, I've literally said, but I don't know why, you know. I said, well, you need to trim some of those bushes back. You need to cut those bushes back. So, you know, concealment, lights, they do not want to be seen. Cameras. And I never recommend that people put cameras up and try to hide to catch. No, put those on the inside.
Yeah.
If you want to hide a camera, hide it on the yeah. inside. On the outside,
make them real visible.
Make it very hard to get to
yeah.
and very visible and a sign. I mean, because you want them to know that they're on camera when they do that. And
yeah.
we call it a hard target. I mean,
okay.
a hard target is way, I mean, you got to rise to a certain level to hit a hard target. And that, what that's going to mean is they want more than your weed eater or they
right.
want more than your
right.
TV or
right.
your whatever. Because they're going to say, okay, number one, I'm going to be on camera, you know, and that's not that you couldn't be hit, but like daytime burglaries in places I've worked, especially in the rural areas, they're a very real thing. But the people who took the steps with the cameras mm-hmm. and it just drastically, and we actually catch them. Alarms. I left out alarms. Forgot about that thing. I was thinking, is somebody behind me? Talking about all this.
I'm just to talk to you, but I'm going to look right past
you. No, it's okay. I just forgot about it. I'm not used to it.
No, you're good. So what are some ways that a person can watch their back while they're in public places? Let's say you get somewhere and then you realize.
No, exactly. Allie, I just had a scenario just not too long ago. I'd taken the grandbaby and hallelujah, I'd lost a refrigerator and all the food therein. And so a major company finally showed up way past when they were supposed to. And so I have to take a trip to town to therein replace all of that, which, you know, you don't think about all the things that you lose, but you do. So it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got her. And
how old is she?
She's 5.
Okay.
She's 5, you know. So I've got her. I'm the one that's still, you know, my daughter is in her 30s. And if we go to the store together, she's not allowed to leave the basket. I need to know where my people are at all times. I've mm-hmm. just always been that way. So I have Harper. I'm in this large corporate store. And I'm on the phone. I was actually on the phone with Joe.
Okay.
And so my basket is overflowing. I've got the baby. She's sitting in the buggy with me. And he and I are talking. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because I can multitask. I'm a multitasker's mm-hmm. multitasker,
I'll
feel.
I'll vouch for that.
He just went, you are distracted. What is going on? This large corporate store has recently taken all of their cashiers out, and you now get the luxury of checking out all of your own things. I've got her. I'm trying to watch my back. I felt more vulnerable there than a lot of places in a town 30 miles north of here. Which I don't like going there for that reason. So I was so upset. What do I do? Leave this overflowing cart that I have to have,
mm-hmm.
you know? But I was trying to put her in front of me, trying to do the things, trying to bag the deals, because you've, and it was just, it was so frustrating, and I felt vulnerable. I don't like that feeling, but the entire time we were doing that, I felt vulnerable to the point that I nearly wanted to pen a letter to this corporation and say, you need to look at the design of this, because you are setting yourself up for a lawsuit. Some kid is going to get stole. Some kid is going to get lost. You know, something is going to happen.
Plus, you're near the door.
Oh.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're near the door.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
It's another reason to stay home.
I was in a gun safety class recently, and one of the stories that the instructor told was about a woman who, she was being followed through the parking lot by a man, mm-hmm. and she just knew that he was waiting for her to start fastening the kids into the car seats mm-hmm. because her attention would be
and
divided.
Back
so
is
what
to
does
somebody.
A person do when they're in this situation and their attention's divided? I mean,
yeah.
Is there an easy fix to that problem? Because okay. there are a lot of moms who have multiple
sure.
children they've got to be dealing with at the same time in a setting like
yeah.
that.
The first thing is, and I've seen this over and over, I called someone, it's been a couple of years ago, but I was calling about it. He was on duty, I was on duty, but I was calling about something that was a training issue, just nothing to do with anything that was happening right then. He answered the phone, and I could tell this, he had stress in his voice. Hmm. And I go, well, Bubba, you'll call me back? What's up? He said, well, I'm out at gunpoint right now. And I thought, why in the world are you answering your phone? Okay, but what we do is we don't answer our radios, and then they call us on the phone. But phones are distractors. I love my phone. I really do. It's nice. It keeps me getting lost sometimes.
Okay.
yeah, when it works. But the reality is that it's a great communication device. You know, just get off that phone. You're in a situation like that.
Yeah.
Unless it's an emergency, unless it's 911 or something, you know, put it back in your pocket. And we got to learn to switch that thing over. It's just, you know, you can always call them back later.
Yeah.
My phone, I don't know about yours, but it got a long list of people I hadn't called back. Literally, no, I'm serious.
I know.
What I do is I start calling them later on that night when they don't want to talk, and we don't talk as long. Anyway, but at 2 a.m., nobody
strategy.
Really wants. It's not that important anymore. Uh-huh. So, but the point being is that focus. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, if I got to that situation and thought that somebody was in, I'd put them in the car, get in the car with me. They'd be crawling all over. And pull to a safe place and then strap them in. Any police officer that can't, if you can say, listen, I was being followed,
oh,
I want
yeah.
my kids in this, and would you, and anybody that can't understand that,
yeah,
it needs to be doing something else.
And I've done that. I've actually gotten in the car with her, locked the doors, gotten in the back seat, buckled her, and then crawled back to the front seat, which you need liniment after you do that. but, you know, just because of that fact.
Well, you won't see me doing that because I'm not crawling over a seat unless somebody is shooting at me. I can promise you that. I had a friend that was in a shootout in North Arkansas, and he was a big old boy. We'll just leave it like that. Mm. And he was telling the story and how he jumped over the car hood, and I go, what? And he said, well, I slid a lot across the top. Yeah, that's what it would be if I was
a lot of sliding.
trying to get in from the back seat to the front seat. But anyway.
Well, one of the things that they mentioned that day that I was in that safety course yeah. as well is to start yelling. So the lady I was telling you about, she started yelling.
Creating
at
attention.
The guy, why are you following me? Why
yeah.
are you following me? And I guess he took off because he can't afford to have that kind of attention called to him.
That's a great idea.
So yeah. things like that, too.
Absolutely.
Do you have, with just a few minutes left on the clock, do you have other tips, practical things that people can, maybe just small adjustments even they can make to just be precautionary?
Yeah.
I was actually talking to a young person the other day. She's not a teenager anymore, but just over that. And I was talking to her, and I said, you know, I've worked a lot of stuff. And unfortunately, guys, I have a real tender spot, you know, that when I'm talking to somebody and they have been abused, that they've been, you know, mm-hmm. something's happened to them. But I will never forget this one little case. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but essentially alcohol, two friends of the opposite sex, then something happened that she did not want to happen. And then, of course, now we're dealing with the aftermath of that.
Right.
And the bottom line was, don't put yourself in that position. You just can't trust everybody.
Right.
You know, if you tolerate some things to a certain point, then it becomes easier to cross those lines. You know, and again, that's yeah. inside that circle.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I stay inside that circle. Also, parking close to the front. You can't be distracted by your phone. Having an attitude that, you know, of being loud. They literally had devices years ago, which I haven't seen them in years, but they were like pepper spray, about the size of a small pepper spray, and had a piercing
sound. Oh, wow.
Oh, I remember those.
Yes, and hitting the alarm on your car. If you've got an alarm, just start hitting that alarm. Yeah. Everybody's going to look.
Right.
If they don't want to.
Right,
it's kind of like somebody locking up their tires.
A little panic button.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like people locking their tires. If we're standing out here in the parking lot talking about something very important, but somebody, all of a sudden you hear that squeal. Everybody, everything changes.
Yeah.
So bringing attention to yourself. If you need to do that, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, that would be some, but then be prepared if you get to the point of, again, whatever, train, whatever tool, whatever thing that you have that you could use to stop an aggressor.
That's great information.
Yeah, that's really
Bruce,
good.
Charisse, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us in the studio. For people at home, I hope you learned something that you can use moving forward to increase the safety in your life. Thank you for joining us on Return to Eden. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Bree Graffio with Eden's Essentials, and I'm here today with Daniel Belt, and we're here to talk to you about our Eden Zinc today. Daniel, what would you like to tell us about Eden Zinc?
First and foremost, just talk a little bit about what zinc does. Zinc is, you know, responsible for a vast amount of enzymatic processes and different processes in the body. This can go anywhere from glandular health in your endocrine system and things of that nature, all the way to immunity. And so it really just affects a wide array of things. People generally don't get enough zinc in their diet in order to be healthy. I mean, it really is instrumental in so many just endocrine functions and immune functions.
That's great. So Daniel, can you tell me what makes our zinc formulation great?
Yeah, so zinc is a metal. And so it's generally hard to absorb, which is why it's really important to actually take it up into plants and be converted into a form a human can use well, as opposed to just being a metal in the ground. And a lot of poor supplements can be made that way, where you can just take the zinc, it can be a low form of zinc that isn't very absorbable, and then your body has to deal with that.
Sure.
And so ours is actually a very simple formula of water and zinc and a specific type of zinc. It's what's called heptahydrite. And that is one that's bonded in a way to make it highly absorbable, much more water soluble than it was originally. And so that's really what its main difference is the high absorption because of the type of zinc that's being used.
That's so great. Thanks so much, Daniel. So some things that you can do that will cost next to nothing right now would be to incorporate some foods that have and contain zinc. Now, that could look something like pumpkin seeds, which are delicious. However, as Daniel was just explaining, that when we do get zinc from our diet or other places, even other supplementation, it can be super hard to absorb for the body or not as easy. So if you're looking to add more zinc to your body in a more easily absorbable way, go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-652-7168 to place your order for our Eden Zinc, or you can order online. And of course, if you have any questions, please email us at info@edensessentials.com. Thank you.